Welcome back to the 1-2 Kentucky Blue Podcast. I'm your host, Coach John Spurlock. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Today, the host of the episode is the man, the myth, the legend, Coach Ryan DeVrent. And he sits down with Erin Coffle, who is a senior softball player, and she recently broke the all-time home run record here at UK. That's awesome. This episode is going to be the first in a series of episodes we will do with current and former student athletes, where we talk with them about how the weight room impacted their performance. I loved listening to Coach D and Erin's talk, and I hope you enjoyed their conversation.
Did you go get ice cream with Steph last night?
Sure did.
I love that.
Sure did. Got Andy's.
That's great. That's great.
Have you ever had Andy's?
I haven't.
It's like life-changing. I mean, it's like 800 calories in a cup, but it's life-changing.
What's so different about it?
They like mix in their ingredients. So it's not just like, you know, Oreos mixed in. It's like, I got the one called Boot Daddy and it has like caramel. It's awful for you, but it's like caramel, hot fudge, Oreo cookie, like all mixed in. Wow. It's amazing. Yeah. Yet again, it is terrible. Like, probably should never consume that in your life, but hey.
Yeah. I have like, I have Whitey's back home, which is like a variety of like 200 flavors.
Oh yeah.
And then it's like from the Quad Cities, a big thing. Like when people go back there, that's the one place that they stop at. And then we have Country Style, and Country Style is like, you know, like a self-serve ice cream cone.
Yeah.
That is like true vanilla, like yellow vanilla.
Uh-huh. That's the best stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like the homemade vanilla.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the best stuff.
Love that. Love that. Well, we got a game today.
Mm-hmm.
First one at home for a while.
I am excited. Yeah. I don't know how the field's going to be, but I mean, I think we'll be playing. So I hope we'll be playing.
They'll bring the super soaker out.
Yeah, they're going to need to. Because it was, did you even go on the field? Did you go on the field yesterday?
Yeah, I actually helped pull the tarp when it was full of water. And when I looked down, the water was all the way over my shoes. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it only rained more. So.
Yeah. All right. So I just want to start this out by like you just telling everybody that's listening just a little bit about yourself and what you do for your hobbies outside of softball.
Okay. So obviously my name is Erin Coffle. I am from Bremen, Indiana. It's like a small town, 30 minutes south of South Bend. Really, really small town. But I grew up like outside, playing outside all the time, getting my hands on absolutely anything. I have two older brothers, so that always helped. Because they were constantly outside playing football, wiffle ball, whatever. But yeah, so I grew up playing outside, being outside all the time, and obviously roughhousing all the time with my brothers. So that's kind of how I grew up, and it's kind of shaped me into who I am today. But I feel like that has really like kind of shaped my personality and like has made me so it's why I'm so competitive today. And I don't accept anything, but you know, I wish perfection was a thing, but it's not. So, and I've had to learn that along the way, but yeah. So being outside, you know, constantly exercising and getting my hands on absolutely anything is kind of who I am today and why I play softball, I feel like, because, you know, playing in the little wiffle ball tournaments with my neighbor's friends and all that. So I feel like that definitely had a calling into who I am. So
there's a lot of people in this generation now that like everything is revolved around video games and they don't get outside a lot. It's not a bad thing. I think a lot of, you know, people of this generation are a lot smarter than what my generation is just because they've learned so much from the technology side of things. But I still think that it's super important for people to just get out. You know, you become like a well-rounded athlete just from, and a well-rounded person from just getting outside of your comfort zone, doing things that you don't normally do. I remember my parents getting me up at 7 o'clock and just saying, get your butt out of bed and go outside and play.
Yeah.
That's what we've tried to do with my kids, you know, and it's like, I think it's super important. Again, like, you know, Colton is 12. He still doesn't have a cell phone. He's the only middle schooler that doesn't have a cell phone. But like everybody is like, they've seen the side of him where it's like, he goes out of his way to talk to people.
Mm-hmm.
He's never the person at the park that's sitting on a cell phone. Like, he's going up to say hi to somebody, yeah. Which I think is super important,
mm-hmm.
For the development of everybody. So that's awesome to hear about you. Now, going into that, like with your parents, I've had the privilege to meet both of your parents. Mm-hmm. Who has had the impact for you just when it comes to softball?
Definitely my dad. He played baseball, you know, growing up his whole life. And I think the reason me and my brothers are the way we are is because he also grew up that way. He's told me hundreds of stories of him and his neighbors, like when it's snowing outside with 3 or 4 inches of snow on the ground, like playing wiffle ball or playing tackle football outside. So I think that's kind of why my brothers and I were the way we were when we were children. But definitely my dad. They kind of just threw me into t-ball when I was younger, and I don't really remember like absolutely loving it, because when you're younger, baseball and softball are decently hard. So you're not really all that successful when you're that young. And when I grew up into like transition league and all that, our teams were typically pretty good. We usually had stacked teams. And then I really remember my love for the game growing when I was like 8 or 9 playing rec league. And then my dad had his own travel ball baseball team. Mm-hmm. And I would go with him absolutely everywhere, like be in the dugout with him, you know, spitting sunflower seeds, doing all that stuff. So I really feel like that's where my love for the game really started to grow. Because I just always wanted to be around like baseball or softball. Like, I don't really recall like what it was about it. I just had a passion for it and I loved doing it. Like, with my dad, I remember at tournaments, like when they were warming up, like I'd be like 9 years old, like catching like from, you know, pregame line routines and stuff like that, like from like, yeah, 16 guys. That's just kind of how my love for the game like started to grow, I feel like. So
when did you transition to softball? Like, you know, you said like, you know, 9 years old, and I've talked with Coach Molly about this with Charlie, and she feels like, mm-hmm, she's probably going to transition her from baseball to softball like the age 12, because that's what Molly did.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What was it for you?
We had both baseball and softball leagues. I was pretty fortunate with that in our hometown, so I probably started playing softball when I was like 3rd or 4th grade, which is probably 8 or 9, 7, 8, 9, 10. So around there, I feel like, for sure. And then I started to play like travel ball, like with our town. It was kind of like our all-star team, around like 8 or 9, and playing on the 12U team.
Yeah.
So I was kind of older then too. But my parents like didn't really give me an option to play baseball, and I always kind of wanted to play softball. So that's kind of, I think around like 9 or 10 is when I started playing.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So just transitioning from there, like, mm-hmm, everybody that's listening, you know, Aaron was like the number 7 player, rated player in the nation when she was being recruited by Kentucky. She was Indiana Gator Player of the Year in 2019 and 20. Is that correct?
Yep.
So you had probably a wide range of schools that you were able to go visit, choose from in the recruiting process. Like, why did you choose Kentucky? And I know that, like, you know, I just want to see if there's any kind of difference from what everybody else feels like when they come here.
Yeah. So for softball, I don't know how it is for other sports, but a few years ago, the rule just changed where you had to be a junior to be able to talk to college coaches. But before that, you didn't have to be a certain age. So I think I started talking or like hearing from coaches when I was like in 8th grade, because I started playing with Indiana Magic Gold, which is like the elite travel ball organization, in 7th grade. And I started to get feedback from coaches in 8th grade. So they were the first school that like ever reached out and ever offered to me. So I was in absolute awe of that. And Erin Reth, like obviously you know who she is. She like we had the same exact path growing up. So she played for Indiana Thunder, which is like a smaller team that still travels to like nearby states. She played for Indiana Thunder and then she went to Indiana Magic Gold, and that's exactly what I did. And then she went to Kentucky. So like she was when I was like, I want to be exactly like her. So that's kind of another reason on top of that. But yeah, so Kentucky was the first school, first visit, first camp that I ever went to. So in the first visit, I came down, I was like, it felt like home exactly when I stepped on campus. That's kind of cliche, but I'm from a small town and Lexington and the University of Kentucky felt kind of smaller. It wasn't like, you know, Ohio State where they have 50,000 students on campus.
Yeah.
And it wasn't, you know, some big city. It was like some rural part, like driving into Lexington, like it's like, it kind of felt like home because it's like hilly and like, you know, all of that, horses and stuff like that. So it kind of felt like home. I didn't feel like I was like going to some other world, you know? So I think that's like also what I really liked. Yes. Yes, exactly. And I never really traveled to Kentucky when I was younger, so I didn't really know that. And then, like, I went on, like, probably 8 or 9 visits because I committed so early. So it was constantly, like, I love this place. And it felt like home every time I stepped on campus. And obviously the coaches, you know, made you feel a part of the team and made you like, they really tried to get to know you. And I remember my first phone call ever with Coach Lawson, I was so nervous. I had dinner and I was like, I was so nervous. I can't even explain it. Like my hands were sweating. I was sweating. I went to the bathroom a couple times beforehand. Like it was so nerve wracking. But she just made me feel so comfortable talking to her. And every time we talked, I felt extremely comfortable and I felt like I was getting to know her and getting to know the team. So yeah, it just felt like home. It felt like this is the place where I needed to be. It wasn't too close to home, but it wasn't too far away. So I felt like it was the perfect distance away from home. And I was in the SEC. So I never really grew up like dreaming to be in the SEC. I always like during spring break went to Florida games because we went to Florida. So that was kind of my dream school, but obviously like Kentucky was the first one to offer me and that was where it all started. So
when you came in as a freshman, did you have any idea of what you were going to study in and major in? Like, did you have a vision? Because a lot of people have that vision, you know, when they come in as a freshman, it changes as they get to be a junior and you're like, you know, what is the next step for that person, you know? And, you know, I think I like to hear what people have to say about that, because, you know, for me, like personally in my journey, like I knew as a junior in high school, like I wanted to be a strength conditioning coach. And ever since that day, I'd never like looked back. So what is it for you?
Yeah. So like in high school, I knew I wanted to do something in the healthcare field. Like I wanted to like, it would maybe not in the healthcare field. I'll take that back. I wanted to be in the physical part, like be doing something physical every day for the rest of my life. I knew I was not the person that could sit at a desk and, you know, type on a computer all day. I knew I was not that type of person. And I wanted to go into PA because I was kind of like into the money aspect of things, you know, you want to be rich someday, whatever. So I was kind of into that. And I knew I wanted to help people. I knew like that was, I had a passion for that. That's why I chose kinesiology. Was you also, there's also so many different career options that you can get with a degree in kinesiology. So I wasn't like, oh my gosh, like I'm going to die being a PA. Like that's what I want to do. I knew that I could see myself doing that. And then when I got to school and like the first couple years, I was still into PA. I was looking into PT a little bit. And then I shadowed a PA and a PT. And I was like, you know, I don't know if this is for me. You know, I don't think I can see myself truly leaving softball. Like, I think I would be really, really sad without softball in my life, some way or some form. And I couldn't really see myself being a PA or PT and still playing, because those are really big, you know, really big opportunities that take up most of your life and your career. So that's kind of when I started to shift my mindset towards like, I want to continue to play after this. So I don't really think PA and PT are going to be an option for me. And I think I still want to help people. So I think I'm going to go into coaching. And I always gave lessons in high school growing up. And I always knew I really loved doing that. And then I helped coach this past summer on my old travel ball team. So, and I was like, immediately, like, that's it. Like, I want to do that. So it kind of shifted throughout my college career in a sense. But I think that's because of, you know, getting opportunities in PA and PT and noticing that I don't think I can live my life without softball in it. So,
yeah, I want to like revert back just a little bit. Like, I think, you know, when I ask like softball girls, like who's been a person that's kind of impacted you, and everybody usually says their dad, because their dad has an impact in softball, has understood the game, is usually the coach. But like, how has your mom, because I don't want to leave her out, because I think she's had a huge impact on your life. Like, how has she impacted you?
So my mom, like, sorry, let me put this on. Do not disturb. Okay. My mom, I feel like for me, has been the biggest supporter. It does not matter if I'm hitting 500 or I'm hitting zero. She is a constant person in my life that I know I can go to at any time, anywhere, and she would drop anything to come and be with me and to support me and to get me through the highs and to get me through the lows. So I think, you know, my dad, he is a little more emotional when it comes to softball and he can get his head wrapped around things. But my mom is just a constant, steady person that I know I can rely on all the time. Mm-hmm. And I think if I didn't have that, I think I would be riding a lot of really highs and a lot of lows. And I think without her, she would, I don't even know. Like, she is just a very steady person and been the most supportive thing. Like, I remember, it was like the beginning of my sophomore year, and I don't know, something happened, and like migraines, never had a migraine before, probably as being a little bit of a baby, but like I couldn't go to practice. Like, I was like kind of going through it for a week or so, and she came like in the middle of a week in the fall, like came down to Lexington and like took care of me for a couple of days. So she's just that type of person that's going to drop anything for me and her children to be with us. So yeah,
that's great. And I see both sides of their personalities in you. You're very, very intense when it comes to the game of softball, and like, you eat, sleep softball, but you do have a kind heart as well, like your mother. You know, it's a good mixture of both. Like, your dad's super competitive, your mom's super laid back, where like, life isn't going to end if softball ends.
Correct.
You know, and that's been good to see. And I've even seen like, you develop from your freshman year to your senior year. Like, you personally have changed so much from like, you know, your life was revolved around softball 24/7, but you've kind of sat back, taken a look and be like, there's so much more outside of softball that can still impact my success in the game.
Yeah, exactly.
So, okay. So let's transition into the weight room. So with this, you know, I've had the privilege to be your strength coach for the last 4 years. As we know, like, usually the strength coach has a lot more hands-on experience with like the girls throughout an entire year than even the coaching staff does. So what has the weight room mean to you at Kentucky, and how has it impacted you?
So I, like, in high school and stuff, I lifted a lot. So, and I always had a passion for lifting, and my dad has always lifted and done weight training and stuff like that. And so my freshman year, like, when I got here, I thought I knew everything. I was like, you know, I have a step above like the other freshmen coming in with me. And I was like, oh, maybe I don't, you know? So I think for me, the weight room is like a safe place for me. I know when I go in there, you're not worried about softball. It's 6 a.m. You're not worried about softball. You're not worried about hitting or playing defense. Like, you're just, I don't know, to me, it's a safe place with the music blasting, like with people around me who are just trying to get stronger and faster. And I knew, like, and that's kind of developed, like, I had that sense when I was a freshman, you know, when I was struggling a little bit, like throughout the fall and stuff like that, I knew the weight room was kind of a safe place for me where I didn't have to think about softball. And that kind of developed throughout my, you know, to now. Even so much that like most freshmen go home after, you know, their summer break and they go and stay at home. And I was like, you know, I don't think I'm going to get better at home. There's no way I'm going to get better at home. And I knew I wasn't very happy with my freshman season, the way I played defensively. And I knew that, you know, being in the weight room, you know, with all those athletes from other sports, I knew I was going to get better that way. And I could work out here at the field with other athletes. So that's kind of where my love for like training and getting stronger really grew. I feel like it was that summer. So for me.
So let's go to the summer a little bit. I've never really like sat down with the girls or you guys and asked like the question, like, you know, we know that we have an impact on you all in the summer because you're training with, you know, 65 athletes and not just softball. You know, you're training with gymnastics, you know, women's soccer, volleyball, all these different sports. And there's so many people around for the summer. Like outside, I've never got to hear you guys like speak about like,
yeah,
what was the summer to you all? Like, what did you guys talk about when you left the weight room? You're like, oh my gosh, this is horrible. Or, you know, I know that everybody talks about like how hard it is, but like so many people keep coming back and our numbers build year in and year out. Because everybody talks about like the positivity and the, you know, I would say like the leadership that you develop from the summer and seeing different leadership styles from different athletes.
Yeah. I think the summer, like being around different athletes from different sports, you know, everybody's personality comes out and you're not just around your team anymore. You're around gymnastics, like their energy and their vibes are absolutely like out of this world, you know, and I think they have an impact on you and they bring you a different perspective in a sense. So working out with like gymnastics was, I think it was a game changer for me because not only are they extremely strong and like extremely competitive, they also bring so much good energy and good vibes and good leadership to the room. And I think even though it is extremely challenging and it's extremely hard over the summer, I think there you get better in a bunch of different ways. You know, you're waking up at 6 a.m. in the summer. Nobody wants to do that. But you're doing it. And on top of that, you're getting physically stronger and physically faster, and you're building your mental capacity because those summer competitions are out of this world insane. And like, you will talk about that for the rest of your life pretty much. So I think it's just all tiers of the game are like coming into a sense, and being around different athletes just like kind of adds to that. And I'm really, really glad. Like I will never, even I will tell freshmen today, like, if you're not going to get better at your house over the summer, come back. Like there, it's not going to hurt you at all. So, and see, honestly, you feel really good about yourself because you wake up at 6 a.m. and you're done at 8 a.m. Like, and that was like amazing to me. So, and you have the rest of the day. So
like yesterday when we were in the weight room, I asked everybody like, hey, who was coming back for the summer, you know, asking them for their t-shirt size. And then like, you know, we have a few local girls like with Peyton and Cam and Delaney that are going to end up staying for the summer instead of like just training at their high school gym, which I think is awesome. I think it's going to help those three a ton, just impact them just physically and mentally and help. And I'm glad that you said that. So I know that you and I, you know, have personally sat down plenty of times and talked about your journey from being a freshman to being a senior. You've never really been that vocal leader, and that's something that we've had to try to get you out of your comfort zone with. You've always just shown your leadership by the way you go about your business every day. And I want to know, from your freshman year to now, how your leadership style has switched and where did it switch?
Like you said, like I've always been the quiet leader, kind of showing like by hard work and, you know, all of that, that I lead and stuff. So, and by the success that I put out, but my dad has always been a pusher for being vocal. Like ever since I was in high school, he always advocated for me to be more vocal. And, you know, I think being on the team that I was in high school, with my high school team, you know, we were very good. So I think I learned from those seniors on that team to be a little bit more vocal. But obviously, you know, coming into college and being in the SEC, it's a whole different horse you have to fight. So, and then stepping onto the field as a freshman at shortstop in the SEC was another whole, you know, that was a total learning experience. And I think after my freshman year, I kind of learned that, I had to deal with myself first, you know, cause I was in a place where, you know, nobody really wants to be mentally. And I had to figure that out myself before I could, you know, start to, you know, take care of others and take care of my teammates. And I think my sophomore year, that's kind of where it all changed. Mentally, I started to, you know, be a little bit stronger and not have so many downfalls, and not get so down on myself, because it's a team sport and people are going to make errors. Errors are going to happen. But yeah, I think that, like, that summer, quite honestly, you know, working out with you in the summer with those girls and being the only freshman there, really, that is kind of where it all changed for me. Obviously, I still grew a lot throughout the period of time, you know, for me being a senior. But I knew that being at shortstop, that's like the leader of the infield. So I had to gut up and, like, you know, I still wasn't very vocal, I feel like, but, you know, this year, you know, you pushing me out of my comfort shell and, you know, talking a lot. And, I think talking in general, like during the game, has helped me talk more outside of the game and be more accountable towards other people. So yeah, in a sense,
you're definitely a person that I have seen just, I think this is probably the first year that I, you know, have not, I mean, I think at the beginning of this season, I felt like there was a little bit of pressure that you were feeling, mm-hmm. a little bit of pressure for yourself, yep. instead of yep. just enjoying the game. We already had that talk, but like, I do feel like you have improved so much, like from your junior and senior year, from mm-hmm. not letting a bad at bat consume you into your defense. And that's why your defense yep. has gotten better. Mm-hmm. you know, and your defense being better has made you a better hitter. Your junior and senior year. So kind of sliding into that, like we all know, you know, the record was for home runs was set by Abby Cheek at 61. You just broke that mm-hmm. last weekend of hitting your 62nd. I want to know, and I haven't heard you talk about this, but like, did that weigh on you early in the season? How did it impact you? Did you feel like, it was something that, like, is it a monkey off your back now that you've broken it? Like, I just want to hear you talk about it mm-hmm. in your journey.
So yeah, quite honestly, like I knew I was gonna break it. Like that's the confidence that I had in myself. So I didn't put pressure on myself to do it. I, at the beginning of the season, was more, I think I was just worried too much about, you know, myself and, you know, hitting and stuff like that. I think I can get consumed in that a little bit instead of just, you know, letting the work take care of itself. And I think obviously after breaking it, I do feel a sense of relief that I'm like not out there to like prove anything, you know. And I wasn't really set to prove anything in the first place, more to just prove myself that I'm, you know, that I am a consistent player and I can do it, you know, 3 years in a row. So for me, obviously not breaking it, I feel a little bit of relief, but the work isn't done. So in my opinion, like I have bigger goals for myself and for the team. So yeah, in a sense.
You've had so many accolades like in your entire career. So I think it's just another one that you can add to your resume. But I think what I both know, like, you know, and we've talked about this, is like the ultimate goal is you just want to win as a team here. And make it to OKC and win a national championship. And, you know, so off of that, like, is that the one thing that you still have to accomplish here as a player? Like, what is it that you want to accomplish before you leave mm-hmm. here your senior year?
I think everybody comes in like with a goal in mind. And my goal was to always get to Oklahoma City. Cause this team, has only been there once in 2014. And, you know, you see that on the wall every single day and you're reminded that every single day. So I think at the beginning of the season, like I was like, I'm not going out like we did last year. Like that's not happening. I'm not going to let that happen. So I was going to do everything in my power to make sure that we're reminded of that every day. You know, you tell me that. My dad has told me that, like, you, if you want to accomplish something, you have to talk about it all the time. So I think, you know, breaking down to OKC every year, or not every year, every day after practice and after weights is like, that's a good reminder of, you know, what we want to accomplish. That's our end goal right there. Obviously, playing well in the SEC, you know, competing our butts off every single day in the SEC. It's a challenge, but I think that is kind of what builds you for Oklahoma City. You know, you play an extremely hard schedule throughout the entire year. So yeah, that's the last thing that I really want to accomplish is getting to Oklahoma City. And I think our team is obviously super capable of that. So.
And we all know that, like, you single-handedly cannot do that for the team. And I think that you have lifted people up to come along on that journey with you. You are not a selfish player. I think you are selfless. And I think that you do try to help and be the best captain that you can possibly be. And I've seen that. And I think that people have the same vision, and the girls have the same vision as you. And we, and the staff has the same vision. This is the first time since 2014 that we convey the message of OKC every day. And I think that was, like, that group truly knew that they were going to make it. And I think when we got paired up with UCLA in the Super Regional, everybody was like, well, Kentucky has no chance. But that belief of every day starting in the fall in August to when we played them the Supers only helped with just having that confidence in themselves. And I think, like, we've already had bumps in the road in the season this year, and we both know that. But it's not the end of the world. Like, that team had bumps in the road as well. But it's like, how do you learn and grow from that bump in the road to move forward? So,
yeah. And I think it for, I think for our team, it's, for me, it's being intentionally, like, focused every single game. Like, you cannot take a single game off. Like, we learned that this past weekend. We took a game off and look what happened. And we lost against a team we should never have lost against. So, you know, tonight playing against Bellarmine, like, we have to be intentionally focused on Bellarmine and Bellarmine only, and being focused in every single play, every single pitch. So I think that is a huge thing for our team.
All right. So, just kind of concluding with everything, like, what advice would you give to somebody that is interested in coming to Kentucky? Why should they come here?
Yeah, that's a big question. There's a lot of things that I think that should be said. The number one thing I think advice I would give for someone coming to Kentucky is you have to understand that you are going to be mentally and physically challenged every single day. So you have to, your number one priority is to take care of yourself and really, really learn how you operate mentally. Because for me, coming into my freshman year, like, I had no structure to that. And my life was totally revolved around softball. And as soon as softball went bad, everything else went bad around it. So, you know, finding other hobbies, like, outside of softball, for me was huge for me, and really making sure that I could understand myself. So I did stuff like journaling and going on walks, and, you know, I have a dog named Jack that I'd like to take care of. And so I think truly finding stuff that you're passionate for outside of softball and not revolving your life around it, because you do it every single day. And it's extremely hard to not get wrapped around. Like, I still get my head wrapped around it sometimes, but I can quickly, like, snap out of it really fast. So I think that would be my number one piece of advice to, like, incoming freshmen and people who are interested in Kentucky is, you know, you have a coaching staff that will do anything for you. If you just ask, and they're going to get to know you, and you will be, pushed and challenged, but you'll be loved every single day, in my opinion. So you're going to become your best self here, in my opinion. So
it's fantastic. And what, so I know, like, your next step in your journey, but I want all the listeners to hear it as well. Like, life after Kentucky, just explain yourself, like, from, you know, the US team to you going to Florida, the whole deal.
So, my after school is over. My dream goal is to play in the 2028 Olympics with Team USA. In this summer, I have a chance to play for the World Cup team. That's not 100% sure yet, but I have a shot if they select me. So I have a chance to play in the World Cup. But this following or this next coming this upcoming year, I am going to Florida. Not 100% sure yet, but I'm going to Florida to be a GA and get my master's in sports management. I felt like I had the opportunity to stay here, but I think for me, I really wanted to, because I'm comfortable with the coaches and I know a lot, and I know I would learn 100%. Like I would learn a lot more if I stayed here, but I wanted to go and get a different perspective of the game in a sense and learn from, you know, other coaches and get outside of my comfortability because I knew I'd be comfortable here. I know Coach Lawson would challenge me, you know, all of that, but I wanted to go be uncomfortable somewhere else and learn from other people. So, and I've always wanted to live in Florida for, you know, a couple years just to get a sense of it and get that, you know, urge out of me to live in Florida. So I'm going to live there for a couple years and get my GA there or my master's there in sports management. And then I also want to play professionally. I don't know if that's in WPF or AU yet. So
love that.
And then after. Yeah, then after I'm done with being a GA, my goal is to go into coaching somewhere in the college world.
At the highest at the highest level. Because
yes, correct.
You know, correct. Knowing your personality, like you may have to start at the mid-major level, but in your eyes, you're like, I don't want to start there. I want to start at the top and evolve and get better and be the best coach that I can possibly be.
Yep.
That's fantastic. So the I think one thing that I'll say is like me understanding, like you saying that you've always wanted to go down to Florida or like somewhere south, like the one thing being a Midwest person, like you'll probably miss is the four seasons. Like that for me would drive me insane because I love the fall. I love the spring. I love the winter. Like everybody's like, oh, the winter, I can't stand it. It snows, but like, it's still a season that like you enjoy for for a short period of time. It's not like, you know, being from where we're at, like Indiana, me being from Illinois originally, like the winter months lasted a long time, where in Kentucky, it's like you get winter, but it's not, it doesn't last as long. You get more of a spring, you get more of a fall. So it'll be interesting to see like where your thoughts are, like from being there for 2 years and like where your mind goes.
You know? Yeah, I think one, I love Tim Walton. I wanted to learn from him. And then the second thing was, I'm like an hour away from the beach. So I was like, I got to take this opportunity. And I'm in the SEC still. So still a very competitive schedule and all of that. So
love that. Yeah. All right. So last thing that I want to finish with you is we do this with all of our intern interviews at the end. We ask them like rapid fire questions and I want you to, whatever comes to mind, you have to just say right away. Okay.
Okay. All right.
What's your favorite color?
Purple.
What's your favorite lift?
Power clean.
Why?
Because it's fast and explosive. You don't have to think about it.
Favorite food?
Popcorn.
All right.
Popcorn or steak.
Okay. Netflix or Hulu?
Netflix.
Why?
Hulu's shows are weird, and Netflix always has good reality TV shows that I like to watch, so.
Favorite book that you've read?
Oh gosh. It's Winners by Tim Grover.
Okay.
Yeah, Winning by Tim Grover.
That's right. Yep. And then what is, are you reading any books right now?
I'm reading a devotional, like an athlete devotional right now that I do every day. And then I'm just reading some other like fictional books.
Nice. Love that. And then what is, for all the listeners out there, do you listen to podcasts?
I do.
What is one podcast that you would recommend to all the listeners?
Mel Robbins.
Why is that?
She talks a lot about life, and I've learned a crap ton from her, like about anxiety and like happiness, and like she has a lot of like doctors on there that talk about, you know, a lot of stuff physically, mentally, emotionally about life. So I've learned a crap ton from her about you know, happiness and just little tidbits that I like to enjoy, like on my walk and stuff like that. So
it's great. Well, Aaron, I appreciate you being on here. You know, the info that you gave to just anybody that's listening, or, you know, the incoming recruits or people that are interested in Kentucky. Again, I wanted to make this podcast feel like it isn't just evolved around softball or records have to be broken. Like, there's life outside of softball. And I think that's super important for everybody to hear. Is we don't want to hear Aaron Coughlin and all the accolades. We want to know about Aaron Coughlin as a person outside of softball as well, which is what makes you the best softball player that you can be and the best person that you can be. So for everybody out there that was listening, I appreciate you guys listening, and go Cats.
Thank you. Go Cats.
And that is our podcast for today. I really hope you enjoyed the conversation with Coach D and Aaron Coughlin. Like always, if you have any feedback or questions, don't hesitate to email us at ukstrength@uky.edu. Thanks, and go Cats.